Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. This is Apostle Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Ministries. I am indeed glad to be back into our Bible class on tonight. I just thank and praise God this evening to be back again. I'm excited that you've chosen to be in our Bible study tonight. It's the End Time Wall study of the Word. And I greet you in the powerful and matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm just delighted to be here today. And we are still in the book of Daniel's. But first of all, I want to call our Bible study to order today. And I'm going to have our devotion and where we will get started. He's sweet. I know he's sweet. I know storm clouds may rise and strong winds may blow. I can tell the world wherever I go that I have found a Savior. He I know, hallelujah, the Father is sweet. I know, hallelujah. I'm going to be reading in our devotions from Psalms 51, hallelujah. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sins is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen into iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. I have just read to you from Psalms 51, from the first down through the eighth verse. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, and most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Father, we come now in the mighty name of Jesus, just giving you all praise and glory on tonight. Father, we come in thanking you right now. We repent for every known and unknown sin that we've committed, and we give you all praise and glory. We ask you, first of all, Father, to bind up the strong man, hallelujah. Bind them up, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Every evil way, every evil thinking, every negative and evil word, hallelujah, against this radio broadcast, anyone that's up under the sound of my voice, I ask you now, Lord, to cover the radio broadcast, the ones in radio land, everyone on the radio broadcast, cover them in the shed blood of Jesus, in the shed blood of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you right now to let us all be on one accord. I ask you tonight, Father, to let me decrease that the Holy Spirit may increase and teach your people. Open up our minds and our thoughts and keep them covered in the shed blood of Jesus. Lord, we ask you now and we submit ourselves to you, Father. Anything that you would have us to know, Lord, just open up our minds and our understanding in the name of Jesus. Lord, we'll be careful, to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank and praise God this evening for you. Everyone in Radio Land today, we just give God praise for you, you and you, the ones that took time out of their busy schedules just to come and learn with us and be taught by the Holy Spirit of God. So I just thank God for each one of you. You know we're in the book of Daniel. We are still there. And we're going to be finishing up real soon. We in chapter 9, I think it is. Let me get it. We're in chapter 9. Yep. We're going to start with the 15th verse, and we're going to go on down. And it's so exciting and important this is, because it's talking about prayer and petition and pleading with God. So it reads as follows: And now, O Lord our God, that hasted and brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renowned as at this day, we have sinned and we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thy anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolated for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thy ear and hear, open thy eyes and behold our desolation and the city which is called by thy name, for we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for the great mercy. That was Daniel chapter 15 through chapter 9, verses 15 through 18. Now, this is Daniel's petition and plea. He recalls how God led Israel out of Egypt. God did it because of his righteousness, not because of theirs, because they were sinning terribly. He found the explanation for their deliverance in him, in himself, not in the people. And God heard their groaning. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. That's in Exodus chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. The only thing that made an appeal to God from the people was their groaning. In other words, God saw their misery, and he remembered his mercy. I'm telling you, that mercy is new every day. Every morning we get new mercies, and when we going through, when a lot of things are pressing us, when we burden down, trials and tribulations, God's mercy kept us, will keep us. Now Daniel asked God to repeat himself by delivering them again because of his righteousness, because of God's righteousness. God is righteous when he extends his mercy to us. He's righteous because Jesus Christ has fully paid all the penalty for our sins. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus. Romans 3:26. Now, notice Daniel's impassionate plea in this verse, verse 19. He says, O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, hearken and do, defer not, for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. This is the climatic plea of Daniel. He asked God to hear and answer because of who he is and what he was promised. No good thing rests upon Israel. Daniel doesn't plead because he is Daniel. Rather, he associates himself with his people and says, we have sinned, including himself, you see. God's name, and Daniel is deeply concerned about the name of God and the glory of God. This is the basics of his plea. Now we shall see that while Daniel was praying, an answer was on its way. Hallelujah. See, God said, while you're yet praying, while you're yet calling me, I'll answer you. I'll answer you so quick. While you're still calling me, I'm giving an answer. While you're still doing it, I'm giving an answer. He'll answer you just like that, so quickly you won't know what to do. And he says, and the scripture says, and while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sins and the sins of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplications before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God, he said, while I was doing that, he was answering me. He says, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sins. Notice Daniel says, my sins. Daniel confessed that he was a sinner, like we all are. It is interesting that there is no place in the Bible which mentioned any sin that Daniel committed. In fact, when his enemies was trying to find some wrongdoing in his life, they couldn't find nothing. And we may be sure that they left no stone unturned on Daniel because they was trying to set him up. They was trying to have Darius put a decree out about him, about people not praying to nobody but to his gods and to him, and knew that Daniel was going to pray three times a day. They were trying to set him up, trying to make him do all those things wrong. But I tell you, he didn't stop. He went right on and prayed. Now, I have often made the statement that no one has ever been saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. And I have suggested that if anybody, no one in the Old Testament who was saved by keeping the Ten Commandments, to let me know about it. Well, one night after a service in which I had said that no one in the Old Testament was ever saved by keeping the Ten Commandments, somebody that I know told me something about Daniel and him keeping the commandments of God. And I'm not going to say it saved him, but it put him in a right standing with God. I told the guy very frankly that he was right, because a lot of times if we can, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. it doesn't mean the only way you can be saved is to believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he died for you and that God raised him from the dead. But Daniel was speaking and praying and confessing. And when you confess and you repent, it's so important, because don't nobody think they sin. Don't nobody think they do nothing wrong. And we all sin and come short of the glory of God. We all do. Nobody can say they're sinless but Jesus and the Father. And then I was thinking about that too, about Daniel. When he was confessing and repenting, he was saying he was a sinner. When I know he ain't going to lie and say I'm a sinner when he's not. So it was something. It just led me to think it was something. Anyway, at least he repented, whether he knew. That's why I always say for my known and unknown sin. Because sometimes we sin and we don't know we sin it. Sometimes we can repent and we know we did it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Now, if you are wondering what sin that Daniel committed, let me say that it is none of my business or yours. Because a lot of times when we sin, we got some secret fault in sin. So nobody know but God and yourself. So I think it's over in Psalms 19. Where it asks God to forgive us for our secret faults. Forgive us for our secret sins. We don't tell nobody. Don't nobody know it's even there except for the Lord. So Daniel was a sinner. And I can still say that no one was ever saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. Daniel was casting himself and his people upon the mercies of God, presenting my supplications before the Lord my God, for the holy mountains of my God, which would be Jerusalem and the kingdom of God that would be there. And that's in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Verse 21 says, Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. The man Gabriel was an angel and apparently appeared in human form. The time of his appearance was at the hour of the evening sacrifice at Jerusalem, which would be approximately 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So, you know, you have, because I taught on this about the angels, because you have some that can turn into human flesh, you know, human form. And a lot of them, that's why I said, be careful who you entertain and how you treat people, because some of them are angels. I seen one on the train one time, and he really wasn't in human form, but he was human enough for me to see his face on the train, because he hugged me and he kissed me on my jaw somewhere, on my jaw, on my forehead or somewhere, and I didn't know who it was. I was scared to open my eyes to even see who it was. But when I opened them, it scared me. I swung up because he was up over me. And I guess I was in some kind of way, trance or something, because I could see him in the spirit, and that's how I got a chance to swing up, because he was doubled over me, and when I swung at him, his eyes got real big, you know, and so I guess I started him too. But angels are all around, and we all have them. Like I said, you just have to command your angel to do what you need him to do. Amen. Okay, let me see. You're on. Now, there is the prophecy delivered by Gabriel, which makes the chapter of such great, this chapter is such great importance, chapter 9, in the study of the Archaeus. And the scripture says, chapter 9, verse 22 says that he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. And at the beginning of thy supplication, the commandments came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Notice that Daniel gets an immediate answer to his prayers. And we get them sometimes. We don't think about it, but I do. By the time Daniel's finished praying his prayer, the angel Gabriel was there. It took Gabriel all of 3 minutes to get from heaven to earth. Of course, if Daniel had his eyes closed while he was praying, it may be that Gabriel was standing on one foot and then on the other for 2 minutes, waiting for Daniel to get finished, because he was there when he opened his eyes. The Lord God has promised, and it shall come to pass, that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will yet hear. That's in Isaiah 65, verse 24. Note that Daniel was greatly beloved in heaven. That is wonderful. The believer in Jesus Christ is seen by God as being in Christ, according to Ephesians 1 and 6. We are accepted in the beloved, so the believer is loved in heaven because he is in Christ. 70 weeks, this is chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sin, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. 7 weeks does not mean weeks of 7 days anymore than it means weeks of 7 years or seven other periods of time. The Hebrew word for 7 is shabayah, meaning a unit of measure. It would be comparable to our word dozen. When it stands alone, it could be a dozen of anything, a dozen eggs, dozen bananas, whatever. So 70 weeks means 77. It could be 77s of anything. It could be units of days or months or years. In the text of this verse, it is plain that Daniel had been reading in Jeremiah about years, 70 years. Jeremiah had been preaching and writing that the captivity would be for 70 years. The 70 years of captivity were the specific penalty for violating 70 sabbatic years. That would be 77, a total of 490 years. In those 490 years, Israel had violated exactly 70 sabbatic years, so they would go into captivity. For 70 years to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath. to fulfill 70 years. 1 week equal to 7 years. 70 weeks equal to 490 years. 70 weeks divided into 3 periods equals 7 weeks, 62 weeks, 1 week. Now Daniel was puzzled as to how the end of the 70 years of captivity would fit into the long period of the Gentile world dominion, which the vision in chapter 7 and 8 has so clearly indicated. He obviously thought that at the end of the 70 years, his people would be returned to the land and promised Messiah would come, and the kingdom which had been promised to David would be established. How could both be true? It appeared to him, I'm sure, to be an irrecyclable situation created by these seemingly contradictory prophecies. The 70 weeks or 77s answer two questions. Israel's kingdom will not come immediately. The 77 must run their course. These 77s fit into the times of the Gentiles and run concurrently with them. They are broken up to fit into Gentile times. The word for determined literally means cutting off. These 77s are to be cut off, as the following verses will indicate. The 77 for Israel and the times of the Gentile will both come to an end at the same time, that is, at the second coming of Christ. This is important to know in the correct understanding of the prophecy. The 70 weeks concerning thy people, meaning the people of Daniel, that would be Israel, and they concern thy holy city, which can be none other than Jerusalem. 6 things are to be accomplished in those 70 weeks or 490 years. We will see as we progress in our study that 69 of those 70, that 69 of those weeks have already passed, and 1 week is yet to be fulfilled. Here are the 6 things to be accomplished to finish the transgression. This refers to the transgressions of Israel. The cross provided the redemption for sin, for the sin of the nation, but not all accepted it. Today, the word has gone out to the ends of the earth that there is a redemption for mankind. But in the last week, we are told that God says, "And I will pour up on the house of David and upon the inhabitations of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication." That's in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1 says, "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness that has not been opened yet." All you have to do is to look at the land of Israel, and you will know this has not been fulfilled. To make an end of sin, the national sin of Israel will come to an end at the second coming of Christ. They are just like any other people or any other nation. They are sinners as individuals and as a nation. They have made many mistakes as a nation, so have we, but God will make an end to that. To make reconciliation for iniquities during this period of 70 weeks, God has provided a redemption through the death and resurrection of Christ. This is, of course, This is, of course, is for Jews and Gentiles alike. And to bring in everlasting righteousness refers to the return of Christ at the end. At the end of the 490 years to establish the kingdom. To seal up the vision and prophecy means that all will be fulfilled, which will vindicate this prophecy as well as all other prophecies in the scriptures. To anoint the most holy has references to the anointment of the Holy of Holies in the Millennium Temple, about which Ezekiel spoke in Ezekiel 46, through 40, 41 through 46. This is to anoint the most holy, and that's the holies of holies in the Millennium Temple. Now we're going to move on to verse 25 through 27. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandments to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks, and therefore, in 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after three scores and 2 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself and the people, of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, for the overspreading of abomination. He shall make it desolate, even until the consummation of the determined shall he pour upon the desolation. That's Daniel chapter 9, verses 25 through 27. The starting point of the period of 490 years is essential to the correct understanding of the prophecy. Since this period is projected into the times of the Gentiles, it must fit into the secular history and originate from some date connected times of the Gentiles. Of course, there have been many suggestions for a starting point. The decree of Darius, that was in Ezra chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. The decree of Artaxis. No, it's not. Or Xerxes at the 7th year of his reign in Ezra chapter 7, verses 11 through 26. But I feel that the decree of Xerxes in the 20th year of his reign in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8 meets the requirement of verse 25. The commandment to rebuild the city of Jerusalem was issued in the month of Nisan, 445 BC. That then will be our starting point. The first 7 weeks of the 49th year bring us to 397 BC and to Malachi and the end of the Old Testament. These were troublous times. These were bad times, as witnessed to by both Nehemiah and Malachi. These were bad times right here. 62 weeks or 434 years bring us to the Messiah. From the first of the month Nisan to the 10th of Nisan, which is April 6th, or from the 1st of April to the middle of April, are a lot of days. I'm not going to even dividing them according to the Jewish year of 360 days. He arrives at 483 years, which is 69-7. See, we still on the 70 years or 70 weeks. We still on that because, and I'm going to go over that, 1 week equal to 7 years, 70 weeks equal to 490 years. And I'm going to go back over that again on Monday. 70 weeks divided into three periods is 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and 1 week. We have to get that down pat. And if and then another thing, and it's important, but just know that we're not going to know exactly when Christ comes back. I don't care how they try to explain the weeks and the years. He said no man would know the day or the hour. So I don't care what the commentary says, what man says, God says, we will not know the day or the hour. So, I mean, roundabout we may, but believe me, I just feel like we will not know when Jesus is coming back because he said it. It says, and after the 69th week or 483 years, there is a time break between the 69th and the 70th week. Two events of utmost importance are to take place. The Messiah would be cut off. This was the crucifixion of Christ, the great mystery, and the truth of the gospel. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. That's in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3 and 15. Destruction of Jerusalem, which took place in AD 70 with Titus the Roman, was the instrument. The final week, the 70th week, a period of 7 years, is projected into the future and does not follow chronologically the other 69 years. The time gap between the 69th and the 70th weeks is the age of grace, unknown to the prophets. It's unknown to the prophets. That's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 12. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. The 70th week is chronological. It is final period and is yet unfulfilled. Anyway, it means that it has not happened yet and that they're looking for it to happen. The prince is a Roman. He is the little horn of Daniel chapter 7. He is the beast of Revelation 13. After the church is removed from the earth, he will make a covenant with Israel. Israel will accept him as her Messiah, but in the midst of the week, he will break his covenant by placing an image in the temple. Revelation 13. This is the abomination of the desolation. What Israel thought to be the millennium will turn out to be the great tribulation. In Matthew 24, verses 15 through 26. Only the coming of Christ can end this frightful period. Matthew 24, verses 20 7 through 31. You see, you and I are living in this time, and every one of you in radio land, we living in this age of grace and of the 70th week of Daniel. The Great Tribulation, as the Lord Jesus Christ called it, and is yet to take place. It hasn't finished taking place yet, but it is going to happen. We know what's going to happen. We know what we got to do. We know where we got to go. We know that God is coming back. We know Jesus is coming to get us. We know he's going to rapture the church up. He's going to take the church up. We know all this. So we just waiting. We in the last week of the 70th week. Okay. This is chapter 10. We only have two more chapters in the book of Daniel, and we're going to start after that, and we'll be finished next week, I'm telling you, with the book of Daniel. And after that, we're going to start on prayer. Now, we need to know a lot about talking to God. It's very important that, you know, we talk to him, and he listens to us. It's very important. This chapter is about the time, place, and preparation of Daniel for the vision. The vision of Christ glorified, transforming effect on Daniel. Message of an unidentified heavenly messenger. Daniel assured and strengthened at the end. You all know that when you have a visitation or you're in the presence of God, are you in a dream or a trance or something, or a vision, day vision, night vision? It takes a lot out of you because you wonder, what's this, what's that, how is this happening, who is that? It takes a lot, and a lot of time it blows your mind. So you have to be prepared for all of that. And the best thing I know to do is to tell you, is to stay prayed up. Stay prayed up. Prayer is so important. I was just reading here, and we're talking about, okay, these last three chapters should be treated as one vision. That's what I know. It relates to the nation Israel in the immediate future and also in the latter days. For example, there is the historical little horn and also the little horn of the latter days. Some expositors consider this last vision to be the greatest of all the visions of Daniel. Although it may not have such structure, it is indeed the most unique section. There are features here which are different from all other chapters. In this last vision, even the method of revelation was changed. Another outstanding feature is that it fills in much details of the preceding visions. While all was prophetic when it was given, at the present time, much has been fulfilled and belongs to history now. There is also a great deal that is yet prophetic to be fulfilled in the last days. The line of the demarcation between what has been fulfilled and what is yet to be fulfilled is not always clear. We have already seen the principle of double references, which refers to predictions that have a near and local fulfillment and also have a distant fulfillment. Of course, the fulfillment in the immediate future gives us the key for the far future fulfillment. For example, the historical fulfillment in Antarctic Epiphanies gives us a picture of the future fulfillment, which will be in Antichrist. The key to understanding these last three chapters is found in the explanation the angel gives to Daniel. See, we have to take everything and strive. What the angel is telling Daniel, we have to know what he means when he tells Daniel. He talked to Daniel. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. In other words, it would be a long time before this will be fulfilled, and it concerns Daniel's people, the people of Israel. But I'm not going to say any more about it. We're going to start reading reading in verse 1. Time, place, and preparation of Daniel for the vision. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. So it was a true, but it wasn't for now. It was for the future. The third year of Cyrus was 534 B.C., which was about 4 years after the vision of the 70 weeks. Daniel was an old man by this time and probably retired from public office. Thing, a word was revealed unto Daniel, suggests a new mode of communication. The thing, word, was true. But the time appointed was long. In the case that the final fulfillment was in the distant future, not the immediate future. He understood the word and had understanding of the vision, means that this vision was made crystal clear to Daniel. He knew exactly what it meant. Verse 2 and 3 says, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3-4 weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Daniel did not take a bath for 3 weeks. The cause of Daniel mourning is not told us, but we can speculate. Remember that it was the third year of Cyrus's reign, and in his first year, he had made the decree which permitted Israel to return to her land. 2 full years had passed, and only a paltry few, just only a few, had returned to the land of Israel under Zerubbabel. This is before the group under Ezra and the group under Nehemiah had returned. This was a rigorous time for Daniel. It brought grief to the heart of the aged prophet of God, now past 90, to see that the people did not want to return to their land, to their homeland, probably retired now from active participation in office, evidently having served through the first year of Cyrus. He gave himself entirely to the service of God. He fasted for 3 weeks because he did not get an immediate answer to his prayer. Now this man is past 90 years old and he's still fasting, sacrificing, trying to get a prayer through, and I don't blame him for that. And in the 4th and 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hinkledale. Now he gives us the exact place and date when he received his vision and revelation. He was by the great river Hinnadel, anyway, which is the Tigris River. The time was the 24th of Nisan, was April the 24th. That's Nisan. It's April. Daniel is dealing with exact dates. This makes it difficult for the critics to wrestle with, because the one who wrote this was dealing with specific dates, and he was not given a late date for the book of Daniel. Okay, I think that Daniel saw the transfiguration of Christ before either Moses or Elijah saw it. there have always been three representatives. Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. But Daniel represents a very particular group of those who had been in exile, and now he is given this vision to the glorified Christ ahead of time for his encouragement. And a lot of prophets, I'm telling you, Daniel was a very special prophet. The one prophets nowadays, if they'll pay attention, God will use them in even the more. We're not paying enough attention to what God is saying and showing us. He didn't show me so many things. I'm just telling you. I know when God is doing it. He just showed me his glory. Most people don't even know what God's glory looks like or is. But he woke me. He woke me. He didn't shake me with his hand or nothing like that. But it was a certain way he was calling me in the, and I said, yes, just like that. Because I didn't know who it was. He said, you are the quiet one. And that really shook me up because I knew it wasn't who I was laying next to. So I said, yes. And he said, your name is the quiet one. I said, yes, sir. He said, have you ever seen my glory? I said, no, I haven't. Now, I'm laying in my bed, but I'm up in the spirit, I guess. He said, this is my glory. And it was like a ball of clouds with light. It was just so shining bright. And they was like twirling, those clouds were. And white and light and shiny. I said, yes, sir. He said, this is my glory. And so I was so excited about it until I woke Pittman up. I said, have you ever seen God's glory? He just almost cussed me out. But it wasn't for him. See, everything, we try to share all of it with somebody because we're excited about it. But it was not for him. It was for me. He showed it and gave it to me. And, man, every time I think about it, I thank God so much because he could have chose anybody else to show this to. And all the things I've been through in my life, all the sickness that I've had in my life, and even up to now, they are miracles that God has given favor and miracles to me and grace and mercy. I'm so grateful for it today. So many things could have happened to me. So many things. And every time, it's like every time something happened, it would be always be like something in the hospitals and surgery and being shot and all this kind of stuff and heart attacks and it's stuff like that. I'm saying, Lord, it's like when I go down, it'd be something huge. Well, you know there can't nobody get this glory but God. Man can't do it. Only God. Even when I had the massive heart attack, the doctor said, you are a miracle. He said, you had a heart attack so big like you had been snorting cocaine for a week. And I didn't even know what it looked like. That's long about putting it in my body. So, but then God got the glory because here I am. I'm still running for God. And I'm not tired yet. Still standing. Only because the grace and mercy of God. Only because of his mercy. And I just know what Daniel talking about. Because when we get those visitations from the Lord, when we get where he can talk to us and show us things, and we close our eyes. That's what I was just saying. Gabriel was standing there all the time. When Daniel asked him, Gabriel immediately went to Daniel right there. And evidently, Daniel was still praying and had his eyes closed, and Gabriel was right there. So he said, before they call you, I will answer them. And while they yet speaking. You know, I would be there. He was right there. It took him just seconds to get there. And God know our heart, so he probably told Daniel, go before he called me. Just go ahead, I'll tell you what it is. Just go do it. And that's how I feel. When I prayed to God for somewhere to worship, when I prayed and asked God about the church, and I started looking, didn't look at many, didn't look at but one, didn't go in but one church, two. But the one that we went in the first time was the one. And I'm just telling you, God is good like that. While I was asking him, and then when he did it so quick, I was saying, Lord, I don't have the money yet. You're moving too fast. God said, I got the money. He said, I got it. Believe me, he got the money. I don't even worry about it. He got it. So, and I know, and I'm so grateful and thankful for it, but I know exactly what where Daniel is. Now, we, we're not going to go no further than this. We're in Daniel chapter 10, verses 2 and 3. Oh, no, we're in chapter 10, verse 4. Mm-hmm. We're going to start with 5 and 6 when we come back on Monday. We're going to try to do the whole chapter of 10 and some of 11 on Monday and on Thursday. We're going to do the whole chapter of 11. Of the part of 11 in the whole chapter of 12, and we'll be out of the book of Daniel. And the next following week, we're going to start in on prayer, and we're going to stay on prayer for about a month because I want everybody to be able to pray like they should. So I'm not going to hold you any longer. We got about a couple of minutes. I'm going to get ready to. Yeah, we got 2 minutes. I'm going to get ready to dismiss everyone. Father, we just thank you tonight for your word. Father, we thank you for everyone that's on our radio broadcast, the ones in radio land. Father, I just thank you for them tonight. I ask you right now to cover them and their families in the shed blood of Jesus. Encamp your angels all around about them to protect them, Father. I just thank and praise you for opening up our minds and our hearts to your words, letting us all be on one accord in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you all the praise and we give you glory. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. And we'll be right back here tomorrow night at this same time for our praise, prayer, and prophecy. Praise, prayer, and prophecy. Come join in with us on tomorrow evening. The number for you to call, your guest call in, is 323-642-1493. That's 323-642-1493. You out in radio land, call in if you have prayer requests. I'm going to put it on Facebook for tomorrow if someone want to call in to have a prayer request or a miracle praise report, they can do so. But I will put it on Facebook, and I want to ask all of you to put it on Facebook if they want a prayer request at this same time that we're going to be on our radio broadcast. You can invite people to call in for their prayer or give a prayer request, and we pray for them. So I thank and praise God for you all. I love you. Have a blessed night in the Lord. And we'll see you right back here by the grace of God. Amen. You all have a good night. Good night.